Hello and welcome to B&D Now, a podcast about independent game development. I'm your host, Tobias Marks, and with me today is Rachel Reisdorf. Both Rachel and I have been to tons of different conferences, and so GDC is coming up next week, and I thought I'd bring her on and we could talk about how to GDC, how to go to a conference, what to expect at GDC, what you should be doing there. How many GDCs have you been to, Rachel?
I've been going to GDC every year since 2005.
Yeah, I think that was 2005 was my first year, too. I don't think I've skipped a year. So what is that, like nine at this point? This will be my ninth GDC.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I love going. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And it's one of my favorite conferences. How many different conferences have you been to, Rachel? Like, I know you've gone to SIGGRAPH and PAX.
SIGGRAPH, PAX, GDC, AES, which is an audio convention, and then just on my own, I've been to BlizzCon and to WonderCon.
Cool. Yeah, I've been to BlizzCon too. That one's pretty fun for your Blizzard stuff. But GDC is my favorite because it's for us. It's for game developers, and it's really, really friendly to indie game developers as well. There's just great talks to go to. There's an entire expo with tons of cool stuff to see. There's all these parties where you can go and meet people at. But a lot of what I see is when you first go to GDC, you just get choice paralysis. What do I go? Where do I go? What do I do? And so many people just kind of like sit in a haze, not sure where they're going to start with. What do you generally do at GDC?
Well, the first thing is, so usually I'm exhibiting. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the expo floor, and it can be confusing because it's like there's three different buildings at Moscone, and they're always changing where the expo is and where the registration is and everything. So
yeah, sometimes in the north hall, sometimes in the south hall, sometimes in the west hall.
Yeah, it changes. I think it changes almost every year.
Generally, they break it down into two different expos. There's the career expo or the career pavilion, I think they call it, and then the main expo where they have all of the companies and booths trying to talk to different game developers.
Yeah, but sometimes they combine them.
Mm-hmm. when they combine them, that's fun, but it does get, like, confusing, I guess, because there's just so much space. What booths do you do? You have a Cogswell College booth when they have one there, but, just if you want to see her running around GDC. You're going again next week, I assume.
No, we actually aren't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yep.
Oh, well, so... when you go to GDC, how many people do you think you've talked to there? Like, it's probably 6,000 different attendees, right?
Oh, at least. I mean, GDC's attendance, I believe, is somewhere in the 25,000 range.
Oh, wow, that high.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so you get everybody coming in, and it's 3 days of crazy insanity and people coming through, and they've got, of course, like they've got the beer crawl on the first night. From 4 to 6, definitely don't ever miss that. So that's when everybody comes to the expo and you get some beer. And
it's also a good time to get free stuff because they're saving it for that particular time.
Exactly.
They get the most attendees wanting to come to their booth. I mean, if that's your goal, right? Some people go to these conferences and they're like, I'm going to pay for my conference ticket by buying or getting a bunch of free stuff at the booth. And so they go up and they say, hey, what do you have to offer me? Nope, I don't want that. Moving on. I've never been as much of a swag hound, as they're called. Swag is stuff we all get, if you don't know. But if you're looking for that stuff, you want to go at right times to find it. There's the beer crawl at like 4 o'clock on the first day.
Yeah.
It's not the first day. It's the third day, right?
Oh.
Because those first two
I'm an exhibitor, so for me that's the first day.
The main conference is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, but you have the Wednesday... You have the crawl. And also, Friday can be a good day, depending, because it's the last day. So people just, like, throw free stuff at you if you want a free T-shirt.
Yeah, if you want a lot of free pens because you need to fill up your cup at work, or you want to get a T-shirt for your kid or something, that's definitely the day to go because all of the exhibitors are trying to get rid of their stuff. But the really good stuff usually comes out in the morning, and it's usually on the first day of the expo.
Yeah, because that's when they have the most stuff and they start getting away. And then they start rationing it by the end of Wednesday night. We only have so much left. Is there any like swag that you should avoid getting?
I would definitely say flyers of companies that you're not interested in. So like if you go to a booth and you start looking at them, and then all of a sudden you kind of feel guilty and you're like, oh, I should really take a flyer so I don't look like, you know, some guy that's just walked up and isn't interested. Don't take it.
Because yeah, you're not going to read it. You're not going to reference it. It's just going to clutter the companies you actually were interested
yes.
in looking them in, and having their flyers the nights where you can sort through and go, hey, I'll check them out afterwards.
And it weighs you down a lot.
Yeah.
Very definitely. Quickly.
Because there's so much stuff. I try to avoid anything that I just would not last or wouldn't use. Like they often have those, what I call thunder sticks, where they're just those blow up balloons that you clap and make a noise. Or sometimes like NVIDIA has like those pins with like a number on it. And if you find someone else with that number, you
the impossible task.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah that does never happen. Nobody wins.
I've seen people win that. But like,
I think it's lies. I think they're actually NVIDIA employees.
I'm sure it's on the up and up. And it's just so like the odds of you like displayed it and then see the other person's thing.
I've seen people with like 10 numbers walking up and down the escalator trying to find people, and it's just I just don't think that that's the way to spend your GDC.
No, it's not really a good use of your time.
No.
To be like trying to collect the different. pins and find one that matches. But one thing you do collect a lot of is business cards. I know, not just GDC, but at tons of events, I'm always getting new business cards, especially now that I work in Microsoft. And every time I get this huge stack of them. So I like to scan them afterwards just to get them digital, because I find that paper, you know, it's nice to have it, but they end up just sitting in a box, sitting in a corner. I mean, do you do anything with your business cards?
So a couple things I do with business cards. First off, you absolutely want to have a pen on you at any convention you go to. And the minute that you meet people, especially people that you're really interested in, you got to flip over that business card and write on it who they are, when you met them, what you were doing, you know, what you were thinking.
That's why, like, don't put, like, a fancy back on your business card. You might think you're cool, but there's a reason why your business card has a nice white background.
Yeah.
And it's for note-taking, because people won't remember you. I'm meeting hundreds of people every GDC, and I need a quick note to remember you versus someone else. If I saw your face, I might recognize you.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at your face when I look at your business card.
Yeah. And you might also want to have, like, symbols for yourself that kind of – that you can reference that maybe, like, super important follow-up versus, like casual follow-up or somebody where you're – you just think, yeah, right.
Yeah, some quick shorthand of, like, this is somebody I absolutely must email afterwards. Because I've had it where, like, a week after GDC, I get an email from somebody that's like, oh, man, it was really great to meet you. And it's like, we met on the escalator.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a casual follow-up. And maybe we were interested in talking. But there's some people who are vigilant about it. I'm going to email every single one of these people. And you can tell that, like, that email wasn't personal. They're just going through every single business card and emailing that person or adding them on LinkedIn. It's much better to be like, hey, that's cool that you work for this place and do this stuff. And what's your experience with that? And, you know, if you're going to send an email, actually take the time and write to that specific person.
Yeah. Nobody likes to get the form emails. And I've seen that happen so often. And even worse than that is that people will follow up like 6 months after the conference. And by then, you don't remember who that person is.
Yeah, at that point, you might have a different job.
Yeah, so there's no point. Like, if you're going to follow up with people, they need to be really personal and within, I would say, a week or two, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 weeks is fine. A month is, oh, I'm sorry I took so long to get back to you. If it's been more than a month, it doesn't count.
Yeah, they don't remember you.
So do you use any software to scan your business cards?
No, you know what? About the only thing I use for that would be like electronic business cards is my phone, where you like bump them and get information that way. But otherwise, sometimes I like to just hold on.
Just like the NFC contact.
Exactly.
Transfer.
Yeah.
I use an app called CamCard, and it lets you take a picture front and back of a card, and it scans it, and it does a okay job of digitizing it. So it'll like get most of the email, and then it'll like there'll be a C where there's supposed to be an E, and then you go in and you fix that one letter, and then it's good. So you like it reduces my typing by like 70% because I'm only, you know, fixing errors rather than typing everything out. So it's pretty cool. I recommend that. I believe it's available on all mobile devices. I know it works on my Windows phone.
Of course it does.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been using.
It's the best phone ever.
Yes, it is. When you're talking with people in the booth, you're mostly an exhibitor talking to people walking by, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you flag people down to talk to you? Just be like, hey, you. Or do you try to be more inviting? Or how do you get people to talk to you?
It depends on – a lot of times what happens is people walk by and they kind of – they look at your booth. And once you see that they're interested, then you can come up to them and say, hey, you know, I'm such and such and I'm with this company and here's what we do. That's usually what they want to know is what is this company? What do they do? Why are they here at GDC? So it's best to engage people that look interested, because otherwise people can get really annoyed, or they even run away sometimes. That's always –
Do you mind people who just, like, go up to your booth, look at you, say, oh, wait, actually, I'm not interested, and walk away?
I would – that's actually words said to me, so I'm okay with that. Yeah. I get a lot of people who literally stand in front of the booth, and they stare for about a good 5 minutes at the booth, and then they walk away. And that destroys me because
I – say hi while they're standing there?
Yes, yeah. And they – they've got tunnel vision, or they're thinking about something else, or whatever. So I'd rather that they
better
said
say,
something.
Oh, this doesn't interest me. Sorry, I'm moving on.
Yeah. Although nobody's ever really said that.
No.
It's more that people will say, oh, it's
fade away.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a college, and so not everybody's interested in going back to college. So they'll say, oh, you're a college. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, well, have a good day. And they walk off, and that's totally fine.
What about people just, like, run up and try and grab a pen?
We have had a lot of people try to ninja the pens, even when they're free and they're laid out in a manner that suggests that they're free and for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
People like to run up and try to sneak one. And usually I try to engage them, like, hey, these are free. You can have one.
Yeah, you're allowed to grab them. Because sometimes people have cool stuff at booths, but they're not meant for you to just walk up, take it, and walk away. Sometimes they want you to fill out a survey, something they're showing off, raffle prizes of what they'll do earlier. So it's kind of rude to just run up to a booth, and if you see something or multiple of things, to just grab it. But if you see, like, 20 things on the table.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if they're a good exhibitor, they're going to keep the good stuff in the back. And usually anything that's on that front table in the front of their booths is up for grabs. It's for everybody.
Yeah, it's only when you see one of something should you be like, this is probably not available.
Or just take it and run. If it's that cool.
Yeah, if it's worth stealing.
Yeah.
That might not be something we want to advocate exactly. So after the show floor closes, there's stuff going on every night usually. Every night there is at least one party. Often a sponsor will be hosting them. You can come to the Microsoft party if you have a ticket. Invite only. I should check that. Wednesday night is the award show, though, and that one is a must-see. I know too many people who just skip it thinking, oh, an award show? That sounds bland. But it is a really fun time. It is both the Game Developers Choice Awards and the Independence Game Festival Awards in one show, Indie Games First, and it goes over the cool games that were made this year. You get to see all the people that have little skits sometimes. Tim Schafer has hosted multiple times, and he's always hilarious.
He is.
They give out a Lifetime Achievement Award sometimes to people who've been really influential in the industry.
They usually do that every year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's what I really like about the IGF especially is that you get to see games that a lot of times are very experimental and really out there and not, you know, not things that you might think about normally, you know, because the Game Developers Choice Awards are all about, like, you know, whatever's the big blockbuster games. And those are definitely fun to see. But I kind of like seeing some of the more experimental games because it's always different, you know, makes you think in a different way.
And you can see them all before and after, too, because they have the Indie Games Festival in the show floor, and they have all the games exhibiting, all of the creators showing them off. You get to talk with them, shake their hand, ask them questions, and that is really useful as an indie because they're there because they want to talk to you and you want to talk to them, and you get to know each other and you can just, like, hang out afterwards. I've often made friends just going, hey, your game is super cool.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, there's at this point, there are so many submissions into the IGF. So the people who are there at the IGF kind of section mm-hmm. within the expo really have come a long way, and they've definitely got something to show.
Yeah, these are not people who made a month prototype.
Yeah, exactly.
These are people who've put long hours into a project, who've really thought about it, who've really polished it, who've done something really cool or innovative or unique and worth seeing. And every single one of the games is very highlightable because they're one of hundreds at this point of the games that were submitted every year. And it's the best 10 or however many they have being shown off. And they're usually shown throughout the entire week of GDC. So you don't need to rush over to them per se. But, you know, it's always nice when you go before the award show, because afterwards, I don't know who's the award winner, who didn't win, and then the award winners kind of get crowded because everyone wants to go play the game that won, and you can kind of go beforehand and play that game before people know if it wins or not.
Yeah. And I wish I knew a good time to go. I mean, I think Wednesday is a good day, although it is really fun to go on Thursday because then you do know who the winners are, mm-hmm. but that is when everyone else goes. And then Friday, of course, is the student day, and so a lot of students will be over there and in that area.
Yeah, because students, I believe, can get passes for really, really cheap for Friday only.
Yeah, they're usually about $75.
So attendance and the expo gets flooded by a bunch of students coming in. But it also means that the expo sometimes is already shut down. Some people just outright leave because, especially in the job fair, where they end up just getting flooded with a bunch of students who are not as experienced of what they're looking for sort of decisions. So they just, like, wrap everything up and leave early. So if there's something that you absolutely must see, try to do it on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my opinion, Friday is kind of the worst day of GDC. You're also really tired, especially if you've also been going Monday, Tuesday. It's, you know, you're kind of getting worn out by then. It's a good day to get a bunch of free stuff. It's a good day, you know, stuff getting wrapped up. But Thursday is really the big party day.
Yeah.
That's where you have the most parties because Wednesday there's the award show, and so that has a lot of attendees, so the parties don't start till later. But Thursday night, that's when everyone has their big bash. And often you will get invites for multiple parties. I try to avoid parties that are just super open invitation because, you know, they can be cool if they're interesting or they're hosted by a company that you want to meet those people at that company. Like if you want to talk to Microsoft people, you really want to get into the Microsoft party, right? But if you're just trying to look out at developers and you want to find a party that has the people attending it that interest you, people you want to meet, and Big parties often don't have free drinks, often are very expensive for their drinks. Like I've seen $12 for Galana and I see it's like ridiculous.
Well, and a lot of times too, people at the bigger parties are, I mean, you know, it's whatever you're going for. Like the people at the bigger parties tend to be trying to get drunk, right? And
yeah, they're there to party. They're there to dance. Exactly. It's there for loud music. And that's what you're going for.
Yeah, there that's you go. Cool.
There are less networking opportunities, right? Because I guess that's a different goal, right? Some people want to do the parties to party, to have fun. Some people want to go and hang out with their friends. And some people want to go to network.
Yeah.
And I think networking is important because you can do fun, hang out with friends while you're networking. Those are not, you know, mutually exclusive. But different parties focus on different ones of those aspects. I know there's the indie game meetup at Denny's every year. I forgot what day they host it, but there's a Denny's just down the street in San Francisco. And so a bunch of indies just start, let's just go to Denny's for dinner. And basically on one of the days, there's just nothing but indie game developers at a Denny's.
That's kind of ironic, you know, because indies don't have a huge budget.
Well, there might be a reason why it's Denny's and not say at the W. But
they used to have a really big party at the W every year.
Yeah.
And it was
there's always a party at the W every year. It's hosted by somebody.
But it's gotten a lot smaller.
Yeah.
It used to be really big and everybody, and it was fun.
Yeah. I won't name names, but the W may have been the one that had the $12 on ice piece 1 year.
Yeah, but at the time, the drinks were free.
Yeah. I mean, if you get it, there's a cool sponsor, right? I mean, that's one to be said. If you have a big company sponsoring your party, you can get a lot of free stuff. So if you're one of those swag hands, you want, you know, free things, you want to go for the biggest name with the smallest attendance.
Yes.
And that's where you get, like, the best ratio of free fades. Because you have a big name, big attendance, you're not going to get much stuff. Small name, small attendance, not going to get much stuff. Just got to find that golden ratio. Yeah.
Well, and usually in order to get into those parties, because it used to be, like you said, it was just, you know, these big open invites and everybody's like, oh, come to our party. Mm-hmm. You know, but now I think they're really trying to, you know, pull back on that. And so usually you have to talk to people at the booths for a while, and you might even have to ask, like, hey, is there a party going on?
Yeah. I mean, some of them are, like, open invitation, but you really have to know somebody and get this viral effect, which is – it's kind of sad because it's open invitation for everyone who's gone to GDC before. But if you don't know the right person, you might not have an invite.
Yeah.
Like, not just hosting a party. If you know somebody, you got an invite. If you don't know somebody, you didn't. People who got invites, maybe not that special. Maybe everyone's invited.
Yeah.
If you know the link, if you know where to look for. But, you know, if you weren't actively seeking out that invite, you won't be on the RSVP list, and so you'll be farther back in the line.
Yeah. Microsoft usually has pretty nice parties.
They do. They do. But I don't know what the attendance is for that. Usually, if you're interested in, you know, going to a party, you just go to that company and ask, hey, are you hosting a party? Who is that invite for? Talk with people. And they'll give you an answer, right? If it's, no, this is only for this, that's the answer. But it's like, oh, well, you go here, talk to this. More friends you know, the more people, oh, hey, I recognize you. You're a cool developer. You're making this. You showed me that awesome game. The more likely you're going to get in and talk with people and continue networking throughout the night, all night.
Well, and I think the biggest thing is talking to people. You know, I mean, that's, like, I feel like you really have to go up and show some interest in them and kind of show them what you're doing, you know, and see what they're doing, you know, and start making connections that way before you get into the party, because otherwise you just look like a party crasher.
Yeah. I mean, not every party is corporate either. There's like the Wild Rumpus, which is that indie game party. Have you been to that one?
I have not. Sounds like fun though.
Honestly, I didn't like it because it was really so crowded. So many people packed into a bar. It was just elbow to elbow. And it had some really cool games on display there, like really interesting games, good variety of them. But it was just so crowded that I couldn't move around, couldn't see anything, couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't hear anything. And I just wanted to leave early because it was just like I was not enjoying the time. I would much rather have a party where I can sit in a booth and talk and get to know somebody. I mean, that's in general. I don't really go to bars. I'm not much of a bar person. Most of these parties are hosted at bars, so it's probably just me.
I probably would have loved it.
Yeah, you might have loved it.
Did they have dancing?
Oh man, they had everything there.
There you go.
There's people doing all those. What's the name of that audio game where you play it by your voice? They had like an entire room of people lying on the floor and going, oh,
wow, I have not heard of that.
It was like, I walked into her with like, what kind of cult am I in right now? Seriously. It's a bunch of people on the floor. I mean,
I was hoping that you were going to say that they were doing that Joust game. Have you seen that?
Yes, that was also there.
That's an amazing game.
Johann Sebastian Joust.
Yes.
Yes, that I will be shocked if there isn't spontaneous games of that going around GDC. If you see people with PlayStation Move controllers, moving very, very slowly.
In a big circle.
Yeah.
And hitting each other.
Trying to slap each other silly.
Yeah.
That's Joust. There's actually, that brings up a good point. There's a lot of games being played at GDC. I know they'll have an area for board game playing like they did last year. They have Johann Sebastian Joust, the different games going out. There's all the games at the IGF. Often they'll even have conference games. Like I know they had the meta game a couple years ago, which was a card game where you play trying to debate different merits of existing games, and the person who wins gets other cards from other people, and you're trying to collect cards. So there's usually some type of game going on. So if you pay attention and find it, you can play along and get started. They have some kind of massively multiplayer type thing, and it's better to get involved early on those. It's hard to start them like middle of Thursday, Friday, because all the other players are
so
much more ahead of you at that point. You know, if it's something that's like massively multiplayer where there's like levels involved or secret puzzles to unlock, but that depends on the game that's being played that year and if they have one.
And I think there's actually a couple of companies that exhibit that do some of those games too. I know there was one where there was like a virus going around, mm-hmm. and so you would go, they would give you like some stickers and you would go up to people and say that they had been infected. And then it was like this thing that just kept spreading.
Yeah. So
and like it was kind of cool.
Virus role playing board game type experience.
Yeah.
You know, not like actual viruses and actual hygiene. That's a.
That only happens at PAX.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. You know, there's the PAX. I also think of Phantom Hate, other kind of conferences where.
But PAX actually had that PAX POX.
Yeah, PAX is the PAX curse for sure. But PAX is like 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Which and that it, from all over the world, right? Like GDCs happen all over the world. There's GDC here in San Francisco. There's now what's it called, GDC Next or GDC Online? Changed the name to one or two.
Yeah, it's Next, and that's the I believe that's the Austin one.
No, they moved it from Austin to LA.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I think.
And then there's GDC China, GDC Europe. So you know, this isn't the only collection of game developers, and you know, game developers are not necessarily representational of the entire population. Whereas something like PAX or even E3 back in the day is everybody coming down from every press to players to game developers all in one event, and that's when like one person's sick, infects 100 people, spreads from there.
Yep. Just like that movie Contagion.
Yeah. So speaking of location, how do you normally get to GDC?
So I actually take the public transportation because it's actually really convenient to the Moscone Center. So you can either take BART and get off at Powell Street and then just walk down, and it's a maybe 3 or 4 block walk, very, very quick. Mm-hmm. Or you can take Caltrain in and you take it all the way to the end of the line in San Francisco, and you just... You walk up 3rd Street. I believe it's 3rd Street.
4th Street.
4th Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think, I like taking Caltrain because I live in the South Bay.
Yeah.
So I just hop on Santa Clara Station and I go all the way down to the end of the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes like an hour and a half, but then I'm like a couple blocks to be there and it's fine. And the trains go till midnight, which is convenient, but also worth noting because I think there's like a 9:40 train, a 10:40, and then a midnight train.
Yeah.
And if you're not... at that station,
you're
at
stuck 8,
there are 11:50, you're getting a hotel.
Yep.
So if you take public transportation, you got to note exactly when it's leaving.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly cheap. Was it like $18 for a day pass both ways?
Yeah, something like that.
That's actually to my zone, which would be way down South Bay. If you live a bit more north, like if you live in Redwood City or something, it's probably going to be cheaper than that.
Or even if you got a hotel a little bit further away. I mean, it is fun to stay in the city, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're out of town, like, you can, you know, for to add $10 a day to public transport costs and then get a way cheaper hotel near Caltrain station down south a bit.
Or so, BART or
especially if you're, like, trying to book a hotel this week because, like, you were not planning very well or didn't think you were going to GDC because all the hotels are probably booked right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I drive in, though, because even with the Caltrain being fairly cheap, if you're bringing in 4 people or if you're running a booth or something and you got a bunch of stuff to carry, it kind of becomes okay to drive then because you have to pay for gas and you have to pay for parking. That's going to be like $30. But, you know, 4 people, it makes more sense. I like the 5th and Mission Garage, which is right next to the Metreon and the Target.
Yeah, that's probably the best one there, and it's usually – I think it's about $25 a day. It might go up more with the...
Maybe 32 or something.
32.
During events, I think they might jack it up.
Yeah, but, I think so.
What's nice about it, though, is that it's open 24 hours because there are some parking lots that are cheaper, but they close at like 8 p.m. And so if you're not there, your car is stuck in there overnight. And I've had that happen to me. And then they'll also charge you like a fine, so it's really bad.
Yeah.
And I would not trust street parking whatsoever. Like, let's not even factor in,
not.
You know, your car getting broken into, but it's going to get towed at some point because San Francisco has all these weird laws where sometimes the parking lane turns into a driving lane during rush hour.
Or the street cleaner comes by and there goes your tires.
Or not even the tires, you're just going to get towed, right? Like, it's getting towed is expensive in San Francisco. Yeah. So absolutely make sure you're going to a nice garage. It's worth the money. Don't try and save $3 by going to a place. Not only just park in the one that's close, pay the $30, be happy for it, that you know your car's going to be there whenever you need it.
And don't park on O'Farrell.
Yeah. What's on there?
Interesting people.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so yes, if you're trying to walk through there at night,
so
all right.
San Francisco has some interesting places if you don't know where you're going. So careful wandering alone at night. You got to know which streets to walk on.
Use the buddy system.
use the buddy system. That's really good advice right there. So how do you think GDC is different in attendees from those other conferences we talked about, right? Because it is game developers, but you know, there are other events that have game developers at there, but I've never gone to GDC. It's so different than any other conference. It's a way more friendly vibe. People want to talk with you. People want to see your game you're working on. You meet your idols. You can just see all the famous developers of games that you've been idolizing, and they're just there, and they're not only in front of you, but you can go up and talk with them, and that's like not a big deal. Just say hi, and they're happy to say hi to you.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I've talked to like creative directors and CEOs and all sorts of stuff, and everybody is very casual, very friendly. I know I went to the Audio Engineering Society conference once, and actually I've been several times, and everybody there just, I don't know, it's like, are kind of elitist almost. Mm-hmm. And one time I tried wearing jeans there and literally nobody would talk to me. And I was trying to like hand out pens too.
Oh man, that's very different to the game developer crowd.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
I mean, game developer crowd, you're in a suit, you had trouble with people talking to you.
Exactly.
Like, oh,
and
you're
it's
too business for yeah. us.
And it's exactly the opposite at AES. Once I put on a suit, everybody was like, oh, I'll talk to you now.
Yeah.
But GDC is not like that. Everybody's in jeans and t-shirts and everybody is super friendly and just they want to talk about their game, you know, and they want to hear about what you're doing, especially if you're a developer, mm-hmm. you know, what you're working on, what you're doing. So it's really fun. Everybody is there to network and have a good time.
Good stuff. So what's your favorite thing to do at the expo? What kind of booths do you like to go to?
You know,
when you're not working it.
When I'm not working. I love going to the IGF, of course. Mm-hmm. But I also like to see there's a lot of really good talks within some of the booths.
Yeah, not just like the official GDC talks, but usually it's like Adobe will have a booth and have talks at it. And you can sit down in their booth and they'll have a certain time when they'll be presenting something.
Autodesk does a lot of them and they have all sorts of... they'll have like rigging and animation demos and here's how our software works and here's how to do this kind of scripting. And they do a lot of them. Intel does a lot of them. And those are really cool. I think some of those might actually be better than some of the lectures because they're a lot more technical.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's the people that are working right there in that.
Yeah, it's really nice to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like someone who has experience working with that product. If you're going to the booth and it's a biz dev guy and he knows something about the product, maybe there's reasons why you talk to biz dev guys. But if you're a developer, you can talk to a developer.
Yeah,
that's the person you want to talk to and ask. Hey, is do you have a developer there? Do you have an expert here? And they usually will have a guy working on it. Maybe he might not be at that booth at particular time, but you can schedule a meeting. Say, hey, I'll be over, you know, back here at 5. Will you be there? Yeah, can we go out to dinner and ask him some questions? Or can I go, ask him this, the question and get back to me on it? Or even if you just, like, want to talk with them and have them go over, you know, what you need from their product, depending on exactly what it is. And it's great when you can talk to those technical people who know their stuff. That's another thing when you're doing the lectures in the main conference, too. You want to go to the talks based on the person.
Yes.
Not so much the subject. Because, like, look at the person, look at their background, look at their speaker history, and see, you know, is this somebody who's going to say something interesting? You know, it might be a really interesting company. That company might have made stuff that you really like. But if the speaker is boring, then the talk's not going to be worth going to. And likewise, like, the talk subject might be like, that's kind of vague. I'm not really sure what it's about. Not that interested. And you might have a talk subject that's, oh, I'm really interested in this subject. That's my passion. that might not be the talk to go to, because it might end up being, hey, here's a basic 101 about this thing that you are already into, you're already passionate about, and you're not really going to learn anything. And if you're not, you know, there to ask that person a question about it, you know, you should be spending your time learning about something you don't know, or learning about something more technical and more specific at a different level. I see a lot of mistake where it's like, I'm going to go to the things I already know and just get told to me all the stuff I've already learned.
Yeah. No, you definitely need to branch out a little bit. And you never know, like, what you're going to find. Like, I sat in on a talk about how to create game docs.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that it was, well, first off, it was an amazing talk. And then it ended up being voted, like, the best talk at GDC.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never know, you know, but.
Yeah. I say, you know, follow the crowd too. Like, if you see a bunch of people trying to go for a talk, trust the crowd. There's often very little, I'll give that advice, but in this case, it's usually because that speaker is known for, you know, saying something really good, or a really good presenter. You never know when there's a secret talk from Will Wright. It's that whole incident, you know, whenever he gives a talk, it packs GDC so much that he has to not actually have his talks on the schedule when he does. He hasn't given one for a couple of years, so I have no reason to think that he will. But
he does walk around the floor, though.
Yeah, but, you know, just like all the all your favorite game development stars, they'll be there, most likely. So anything else, any general advice you have for people preparing for GDC?
Well, in general, I mean, you want to make sure you're doing it early and often, as they say.
Just go. You know, it's worth the money. It's worth the cost of the ticket. It's expensive. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it, and that's fine. But if you can afford it, it is definitely something worth going to. And whatever level ticket you're going to get something interesting at that level. If you go to the expo level, the expo is really cool. You'll see a lot of stuff. You'll learn a lot of stuff. You can go to those talks on the expo. If you pay for the all-access pass, you're going to get more content than you can watch in a year. You're going to get so many lectures, so many talks. You're going to be there all 5 days. So whatever one in between you can afford, I'd recommend doing it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about games we've been playing lately.
All right.
Yeah, I've been playing Gone Home again. I've already talked about it on the show, but I played it through this time with commentary, which I love so much because I can hear the game developers' thoughts as, you know, they're going through the game. Oh, hey, this is why we put this here. This is how the game originally was. I think all games should have a commentary mode.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I didn't really talk to them. Oh, wow. That's the first time I think my cell phone went off during the show. That's embarrassing.
That's probably the best ringtone I've ever heard.
But I didn't talk with the Gone Home guys when they were at IGF last year. Yeah, I think it was last year.
So that's why you got to talk to everybody.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I didn't play their game until like 2 or 3 months ago. And now I'm like, oh, man, I really should have played it back then. So if you can look at the IGF ahead of time and see, yeah, this game is slightly interesting, but I haven't played it yet, and then go talk with them, it's a really good opportunity to, like, you can definitely think of an interesting question, especially if you're trying to be indie yourself and you're trying to figure out what made them successful, what made them famous, what made people notice their game. And they'll be happy to tell you. That's honestly why they're there most of the time.
Well, and ask them about their ideas and their inspiration and, you know, what inspired them to do this or that or whatever. And, I mean, that one simple question will lead into an amazing conversation, mm-hmm, almost guaranteed.
Absolutely. What about yourself? What games have you been playing lately?
So I got Fable Anniversary, and I am extremely excited about it. I've been playing it.
How many hours into it are you?
Not very. I just cracked it open.
So like less than 10.
Yeah, I got through the training.
Cool
stuff, and I beat
them. How many hours is that game? Do you know? I think Fable's probably like a 100-hour game, right?
I put at least 90 to 100 hours, if not more, into Fable 2. So I'm gonna imagine that it'll
depends
be
on how much side quests you do, how many people you try
all
to marry.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun of it, right? Is trying to get all sorts of different people in different towns, and and for me, I like to do the achievement blackouts. So I definitely want to do that for this one as well and get everything. All the side quests, all the blackout.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I have not played it myself, but I need to pick it up at some point. I have not actually gone through any of the Fables. I know my roommate was playing them, so like I watched them being played, but I didn't actually like play myself.
I never played the first one on the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I started with 2, and 2 was absolutely amazing, and I couldn't put it down. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best game. And then there was 3. And then there was Fable Anniversary.
Didn't have a lot of good things to say about 3 there.
Not so much.
All right. But yeah. Enjoying Anniversary so far in your first couple hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Very cool. If you want to find more about the show, you can go to beindienow.com. As you find past episodes, show notes, cool stuff like that. You can also follow the show at beindienow on Twitter. If you want to find more about me, you can go to my website, TobiaMarks.com, or my Twitter, at TobiaMarks. Where can we find more about you, Rachel?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can search me. I think it's LinkedIn.com/RachelReisdorf, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, and then R-E-I-S-D-O-R-F.
Very cool. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being on the show, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you.
Go out there, make some games, and enjoy GDC.
Woohoo!